Okay, if you're born between 1982 and 2004, do check in with us, plus everybody else, as we chat with Jake Ducey. His work is called The Purpose Principles, and we'll be back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Jake Ducey with us. We'll take your calls too. Jake, in terms of the millennials, how do they feel about the future? Optimistic or not?
I think there's, of course, many people that aren't optimistic, but I think by and large, people understand that we have this incredible gift with the internet, and most importantly, we have this incredible gift within ourselves. And while there is an increasing economic debt, there is everything that we've been discussing from wars, et cetera, I think that young people are optimistic. I think young people and people of all ages, I think by and large, want to step up to this challenge of showing who you are and what you're made of and answering the question of what did you come here to do?
Yeah, well, that's true too. Now, do they think that there's change in the future too?
Yeah. I think that that's clear. I think it's happening. It may not be happening as much in the mainstream media, or it may not be happening, you know, all around the boards in terms of wars, et cetera. But I think slowly we're seeing it. You know, I think just even in terms of commerce and business, there's the new 1v1 models like Tom's Shoes. I think that across the board, we are seeing change occurring. Just the fact that I'm 23 years old and Penguin Random House picked me up and you had me here on your show, I think that's an opportunity, an example of change. I think that the fact that the Kony 2012, like I said, showed us that messages are getting around the world, I think it is happening. And I think that it's something that, you know, we can go on for thousands and thousands of bullet points of everything bad happening in the world, but I think we can also do that for the change that is occurring, and it may not be as glamorous, and so it's not advertised as beautifully, mm-hmm. but it is definitely occurring. I highlight the story of Mozda Jamalzada in my book, The Purpose Principles, and that's because she's called the Oprah of Afghanistan, a 20-year-old young woman who grew up in Afghanistan while the bombs were being blown up. She thought everyone in the world grew up like that,
yep.
And she had to flee the country, and she ended up becoming a successful singer in Canada, got pretty famous, went back as a young woman in her early 20s, and went back to Afghanistan and headed the show called The Mozda Show, basically like the Oprah Show in Afghanistan, and became the most famous woman in Afghanistan, started fighting against the Taliban and these other controllers on air talking about women's rights, things like that, and they put out propaganda that she was beheaded and her body was being hung up in the center of Kabul. She had to flee the country. But she's done incredible things for women there, and that's another example of young people all across the board are stepping up. You know, I'm sure if we went on Google, we could find a zillion different stories of young people. I saw something recently of two young women in somewhere in Africa that were able to harness urine in order to produce electricity for light bulbs in their town that didn't have electricity. Change is occurring. It is happening. You know, young people are, and people of all ages are starting to look at possibilities besides oil and coal. I think New York banning fracking is a perfect example. Change is occurring. I think it's a beautiful opportunity across the board for sure.
All right, let's take some calls with you, Jake. And by the way, with your book just out, where do they get it? Amazon.com, is it in bookstores?
Yeah, it's in every bookstore, every main Barnes & Noble across the country. I'm really excited. My first book was self-published, so this is my first opportunity with The Purpose Principles in bookstores.
Good for
you. But on Amazon and all those places online and just about any Barnes & Noble.
It's fun. It's fun to see your name in print like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, like, people sending me pictures of their children holding books up, or people 8-year-olds holding the books so far as 65-year-olds holding the book up. It's definitely, it's really cool to see dreams materialize.
Let's go to our first-time caller, David in Nebraska. Welcome to the program, David. Go ahead.
Hi, George. You're doing an incredible job.
Thank you, Dave.
I have two millennial children, and I wanted to ask Jake about optimism and pessimism about the future as these young fellows' outlook. And then also, I had another one real quick because I know.
Sure, absolutely.
I would like to know what he thinks about the generation right below him then, because, you know, as a father, I push my kids pretty darn hard, and one's an attorney and one's a major manager, and now I kind of regret that all throughout the 80s, you know, into the 90s, I really wanted him to achieve, because that's how I was taught. That's how you were taught, George, you know. About, like he was saying, college and all this stuff. But what's he think about the generation below him and coming up? And then what's he feel about the kids' futures? I know he's kind of hit on it. But.
In general, Jake, the futures, first of all.
Hey, thanks, Dave. I think in general, you know, of course, there's a long list of things going wrong, but again, I really think there is an incredible opportunity, and I think that speaking of generations below us, I highlight the story of Gabe Eglinger in my book, who's 9 years old, and he's like, he realized as a young kid that like he's not too young to make a difference, and he's went around and put tens of thousands of books in the hands of people that don't have books. And so I think that, you know, generations are always looking, you know, for to the generations above to seeing what's possible. And so I think that when people find the right role models, I think that they can really be inspired to create change. I think that this technology that they're growing up more and more is also totally, like, not good. I see some kids that I'm sure haven't walked around the block in 3 months, you know, because they're on their iPad from the second they wake up to the second they go to bed.
Yep.
I don't think that's healthy at all. And I don't want to put on the impression that I think everything is going great, because there are a lot of unhealthy things occurring, especially within young people. And so I like to share that side of the coin as well.
Have they even officially named Generation Z, Generation Z? I don't think so. I don't think they've coined a phrase yet for that group.
No, I don't think they have either. I do not.
Jeff is in Culver City, California. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hi, George and Mr. Ducey. Yeah, fellas, I'm too young to be a boomer and too old to be a millennial. I'm an Xer. But mandatory school busing was a disastrous experiment. It affected many African Americans far more than white children, George, and we never wanted to be bused out of those schools. Our parents didn't have a say in the matter.
No, we all had to just go along with the courts.
Yeah, we just had to go with the courts. We never, you know, our parents didn't have a say in the matter, and they were falsely, you know, led to believe that integrated education was best for their kids. But my question is this, Mr. Ducey. Millennials are being educated in far greater numbers than baby boomers or Generation Xers have ever been. But what exactly are they doing with all this education to truly make this country and this world a better? I mean, like creating advertising on Facebook or websites or computer games or apps. How are these creations contributing to the betterment of society? And I'd like to get your answer off the air.
All right. That's
yeah,
a fair
that's
question,
a beautiful
Jake.
Question. I think that while at the same time we are having all this education, I think, I don't know the exact stats for this for as of current, but amongst developing nations, we're like 20th in literacy and overall education. So I don't, you know, I guess it's what's the definition of education. But I think within advertising, you know, advertising can be, if we're speaking of Facebook ads, I use it to sell my book, which I believe can create change. I think there's a double-edged sword to everything. And I think beyond educating people on general things, like how long it takes for a brick to fall off the third story building or the circumference of the earth, I think giving people more specific education that they can apply is really important moving forward, and giving people more, young people more opportunities in specialized things. If, you know, if they're interested in coding, I think they should have more of an opportunity to get into coding. If they're more interested in music, I think, you know, they should be able to have a bit more emphasis on that. I think that, you know, if somebody's interested in video games, hopefully they can, you know, use that to create a video game other than Grand Theft Auto about blowing people up. So I think that, you know, it really goes down to, I think, you know, what can we do? I think as parents, you know, we can do our best, and I'm sure everyone listening is doing a wonderful job of doing their best to encourage their children to use the internet and use technology in positive ways. And I think as young people listening and young people that aren't listening, you know, I know we're all encouraging people to use something like, as he was saying, Facebook advertising, things like that. Use it in as positive ways you can. It's an opportunity, you know, this internet is an opportunity for us to really, you know, there's people online that are developing businesses and killing it online in their passions, from being Harry Potter fanatics to violinist instructors, and online can be a great opportunity for us to eventually, long-term, really develop career capital in something we love. So I really encourage young people to explore that, and I think using education instead of a lot of general things, I think specifically how to apply things that we're interested in order to create a better world. The internet, you know, we can find out a lot of great things, you know, about things we're passionate in. You can find out how to start a nonprofit with the internet, everything across the board. So I think that, you know, there's definitely a lot of change that needs to occur, but I think that, you know, we can do our best to encourage people in order to understand, you know, how good it does feel to make a difference and how good it does feel to create change. And I think when young people can understand that a lot of the great feelings in life come from doing, you know, positive things in the world, we'll begin to do that more and more, I hope.
Jake, do you think our millennials keep tabs on things? I mean, if you ask them, who's our vice president? Would they have an answer? If you ask them about, what do you think of better relations with Cuba? Would they have an answer?
I think, to be honest, I would say no. I would say mostly no. They don't. I think there's a lot of people that do, don't get me wrong, but I think by and large, no. I think that, like I said, there are a lot of people that are young people that are extremely intelligent, extremely well-versed, extremely passionate. There are a lot of young people that have so much potential within them, but they don't see the point in it, is the big thing. And I think, you know, we need to do a better job as a culture and a society to show people the importance, why it's important to be engaged and why it's important to be informed.
All right, let's go next to Pennsylvania. George is there. Hey, George, go ahead.
Much interested in your comments, especially your hometown, Encinitas. I'm well familiar with it. I was the summer of 1966 there with the monastic order of Paramahansa Yogananda, about which you must know. Encinitas is a beautiful seaside town. I spent much time on the beach there. When I went back in 1984, I found that the entire area was overrun with building and traffic miles and miles back into the hills, such as I could never have imagined. And the tracks of the Santa Fe Railroad had been torn up. Two or three things I wondered about, if you had considered how we would deal with overpopulation in a country that is overrun with alien colonies from every country in the world, and also how we would take back our homes from property taxes that have dispossessed us in our own homeland. And may I add my own observation? Oh, and also how we can handle the problem with the student loan debt, which is now a national atrocity. And may I add my own observation? That, to my observation, civilized life on planet Earth is very near to extinction. It will probably be gone in this century.
Wow, let's hope you're wrong on that
part. Well, firstly, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I think everyone's trying to come down into San Diego for sure. I actually grew up right next to the Self-Realization Fellowship. So, you know, just a note on that. I'd start with the third thing. I think that it would be interesting to explore the conversation of debt cancellation for things like student loans. You know, remember this, I think we need to explore the dialogue of that more. And just remember that it's just buttons. You know, they gave their cronies and banks billions of dollars. I think it would be interesting to explore the idea of debt cancellation for the 99%, and specifically I'd be interested in hearing experts talk more and more about the idea of it for student loans. Mm-hmm. I definitely don't know the answer for population. I don't want to pretend that I'm an expert on all these things. What I do know is that there is someone that is an expert that's probably listening here. And if they aren't listening, there's many experts. And I believe within all of us, we do have these answers. I don't believe that we're going to extinct ourselves. In terms of taxes, man, I think that, you know, it's such a heavy subject.
Yeah, property taxes are out of control in most jurisdictions. And they're doing that because that's their only way to pay their, you know, forces, police departments, and city government.
Yeah, no, I mean, one thing I think would be cool, if we are going to pay all these taxes, I'd love to see more of it go into my schools, the schools I went to, and, you know, there's still kids that, like, all the classes are overrun, and it's too hard for all of our teachers. So I don't want to say I have the answer to how we cover all these tax things and how we deal with overpopulation. The only thing I would add is, like, these are things that need to be addressed, and I don't have the answer to them. I know somebody does, and I like to be involved in opening the discussion and using my platform to the best that I can and asking these questions. But, you know, you who ask that, you may have a better idea than I do. You know, the best thing that I could offer would be I'd be curious in exploring more and more the idea of debt cancellation for student loans and, you know, doing away with these incredible tuition fees.
Scorch, what do you do then? What the new college folks, do they collect debt too, or do they go to school for free?
I don't know if it should be for free, or I really don't know. I think that, you know, there are countries in Europe that are doing college for free, and it seems to be going quite well. I think that, you know, if we're going to often give people a disadvantage for not getting a degree, at least give them a better incentive to go and get a degree, you know, than going into debt for the next 20 years. I mean, it would be really, I think, a wonderful thing with the money that we have if we cut down on our military expense budget and we gave young people, whether it's free college or whether it's just grossly discounted, I think, you know, we really need to examine these things. We're not putting people in a position to explore their interests when we're strapped as soon as we get out of school. Mike, I think it's a disaster that needs to be addressed.
All right, Jake, we're going to come back and take final phone calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, we're going to be talking with an investigative journalist talking about disappearing people from all over the world, including whole entire villages in China, Canada, just simply gone. What's happening there? And then in the first hour, I'll be talking with Greg McBride, who once weighed 450 pounds. How much does he weigh now? Well, stick around for the show tomorrow night and find out. Welcome back. Final segment with Jake Ducey, author of The Purpose Principles, and we'll take your calls. Jake, you're going to be on a 60-city tour. Where are you going? All over the place, I guess.
Yeah. It's for The Purpose Principles, and I'm going all through, from so far as Alaska, all through America, all through Canada, and then I'm doing Australia in fall 2015, which is their spring.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's total dream come true. I wrote it down on a piece of paper a few years ago that I wanted to be able to go on a real big tour, which is was always a dream of mine, and it happened. And so, you know, I really believe in the power of having goals written down, and so I'm really excited just doing some of the media tour before and then starting to head out in the end of the spring.
Good. Now, what's your future goal? What do you want to do when you grow up, Jake?
This is it, man. This is it.
You're living the dream.
I'm living my dream. I doing my, besides the Penguin in-house team, I decided to do my own PR for this book, and one of my top goals of shows to get on was this show, and that was a dream of mine to be here. So this is it. I see myself writing a book every year or so. I'd like to get more and more and more and more and more opportunities to get it into schools and from elementary schools to colleges, and this is my dream, and just starting to step into it.
Okay, let's go to the phones now. Jesse's with us in Las Vegas on the Wild Card line. Jesse, go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
Good, Jess. Thank you.
I'd like to ask Jake how he thinks that cutting war funding would increase or enhance or whatever you want to call it, the educational system, because it does provide for stuff that we do need to defend our country.
Yeah, I would say that's a great question, and I would say that the way it would enhance it is that we can use money from the more and more we're going to keep spending on war, the more and more we're going to keep having problems putting money into our education system. And I think that it doesn't take much to get more books for children, and I think that cutting a bit out of our military budget is something that all young people want. I think that if we can quit building military bases around the world, and we're not going to need it. Of course, there's always going to be outside threats, but we're spending trillions of dollars on war, and I think that there's an opportunity for us to cut some of that budget and put it back into our homeland.
What do you think of sending men to Mars and women?
I think before we conquer the solar system, we should first try and put food on the table of people that can't eat.
So you're saying don't go into space?
I mean, I'm curious in exploring it for sure, but man, we're putting a lot of money into things when, like, we can't even feed people around the earth. And I think it's a total travesty that we overlook these things. And I think, I'm not saying that we should that we shouldn't explore space, because man, I'm super curious in what the rest of our solar system is like. But I think the talks are in the wrong places. I think our priorities are in the wrong places. Like, how can we in our right minds keep going to spend all this money when we have so many problems in our home areas? Like, how can we just like ignore how many people are not giving opportunities in order to pursue their rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness?
What do you think of climate change?
What do I think of climate? I got detained by the Secret Service protesting the Keystone XL oil pipeline for 3 days. So, you know, I hopefully that sheds a little bit of light on it. I think that, we definitely need to look at alternative energy systems, just for the sake of like the amount of clean water is used for extraction for tar sands. Like, the Keystone XL oil pipeline is estimated 4 barrels of clean water to clean 1 barrel of the bitumen. So I think that there's certain resources that are finite, and I think we need to do a better job of coexisting with our planet. So, I wouldn't be out getting thrown in jail by my own government without believing that we need to take better care of the planet.
Well, nobody wants pollution, Jake, that's for sure. But we've always been believers that we are in the middle of a solar cycle, and that has a lot to do with this, too.
Yeah, I think the planet does have a natural intelligence to it, for sure. I think that it definitely doesn't help for us to not use the natural intelligence of the planet and the earth in order to power us. Nikola Tesla, you know, was out there harnessing free energy systems. I think that we can do a better job of coexisting with the planet. You know, I think we have seen, and science has shown, that the earth heats up and cools off through certain phases, but I think that it's just ignorant for us to not live in more harmony with the planet.
Well, let's go east. Judy's with us in Melbourne, Florida. Hello, Judy.
Hey, George. Hi, Jake.
Good to have you with us.
Well, good morning, and thank you very much for this very interesting guest you have on
You're
the program
welcome.
Today. I understand that he has some concerns, and as a young man, I understand that you're looking at it perhaps a little bit differently than someone who has 40-plus years on you. When I was your age, I was very optimistic, as I'm sure George was.
Yes.
We grew up in
we
a different
still are.
Time, though, George. I'll be 65 this year along with you. We had gone through three major assassinations, the Vietnam War, and through all of that, I think a lot of us still kept our optimism about this country and where it was headed. While I give you a lot of credit for thinking as you do about some things, I think you may have to think about that in 40 years and some of the things you may change your mind about in that time span.
What do you think about that, Jake? You little whippersnapper?
I mean, it's not like I don't expect, you know, older generations to think that. My dad doesn't have the same optimistic outlook. I guess I playfully.
Well, you know what? That's fine, because when I was
you need that.
My father and I disagreed about a number of things, and while I don't think he was correct on many, as you may think that many of us are not correct on how we feel, I think we were flexible enough to realize that what we thought was important at age 20, a perspective for 40-plus years, changed some of your thought processes.
Well, what I'm saying is important is that we need to, that humans' lives matter, that blowing each other up isn't the answer. I think what I'm saying is what matters is that we find things that make us feel alive, and I think that if that's not what life's about, then I don't really want to be here.
Well, you want to be here, Jake. We don't want you leaving the planet, but somebody's got to be here to fight and,
yeah,
and change.
I
don't mean fight in a war.
Important.
I mean just fight to get things
I
changed.
Know what you mean. I think that that's it. If I become molded by the problems of the world in 40 years, we can talk about it in 40 years. But for now, I'm focused on inspiring my generation to really pursue careers that mean something to them and finding the ways that they can create change in the world. I totally understand that older, quote-unquote, generations don't have the same outlook, and I totally understand that. Half the world's population is 30 years or under, so I'm going with an optimistic outlook because I believe that's one of the greatest ways to create change.
Indeed, indeed. Okay, next up we go to Perry in Lompoc, California. Hey, Perry, go ahead.
Hello, George. Thank you so much.
Sure.
I didn't get a chance to tell you about my belated condolences for your sister.
I almost lost my
mom about 5 years ago.
Appreciate that.
She survived. Yes, you know, with all due respect to you, Jake, and hello, how are you?
I'm doing great, man.
Yeah, you know, it. You have to, you seem, and correct me if I'm wrong, you seem to say that we have to work with outside of the political system, but I think we're going to have to work within it, because every vote does count, as George said earlier on, and basically, too, we really do need energy in this country. We need that pipeline, and we need fracking. And I'm sorry, you know, if we don't have that, our economy will really go, and then everybody will suffer on that. But I thank you guys so much. And one more thing, you guys, you Jake, have brought so many things up, but you're going to have to focus in one direction on more than one thing rather than just being too general. But I love you, Jake, and I love you, George. You take care.
Okay, good. Go ahead, Jake, if you want to comment.
Well, I mean, my comment would be, obviously, fracking isn't safe, or the state of New York wouldn't have banned it. And second, the pipeline, none of the energy is even going to our country. It's all being sold overseas. So that's clearly not helping the people. And third, I mean, we're in a two-hour conversation and we're jumping around talking about everything. I mean, my intention is sharing the message of the purpose principles, which is really about exploration and human potential. I really respect and appreciate everyone's opinions. I think that of course we need energy. I don't think I've ever said we don't need energy. I think that there's a lot healthier ways in order to get energy. Who says that there can't be opportunities for jobs through renewable energy systems? We're just not getting the same type of opportunities that the oil companies are getting. So I believe that there's an opportunity for jobs to be employed through solar just as much as there is through oil industries. And I understand that people aren't always going to agree with what I'm saying, and I think that that's the wonderful thing about being human, is we get to discuss things. And my focus is on my mission, which is to help people realize their potential quicker and faster than without me, and that's what my tour is about.
Well, good luck on this tour too, Jake, wherever you go, because that's pretty intense.
Yeah, no, it is for sure. It's going to be intense. My girlfriend's coming with me, and we'll be in a nice company. So
good for you. You're going to get married?
No, not right now, man.
She's listening. You know she's listening to you right now. Why don't you propose on the air? We'll do a little Johnny Carson thing.
No, she knows I love
what's
her.
What's her first name?
Her name is Ashley Hall.
Ashley. Oh, you gave her full name now. Now everyone's going to call her.
She doesn't have social media, so they won't find her.
She doesn't have social media?
Yeah, that is a attractive thing that attracted me.
That is a rarity nowadays.
It is an extreme rarity, yeah.
Let's go to Claudia in British Columbia. Hello, Claudia, go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. Jake, hey, I'm a boomer. I'm with you all the way. I love your optimism, and I have a theory on how the millennials are going to be affecting the change. And first of all, I want to say, I think it's wonderful that you guys mostly are political atheists. I think as a boomer, I spent, and I think I speak for a lot of boomers, we spent way too many years brainwashed into that left-right paradigm. One party, a different party, another party. And we keep seeing things get worse. I'm glad I'm finished with that. Now, I want to say, I think, and I would like to know what you think about this, Jake, I think that the millennials are going to be the great underminers of the system. Groups like Anonymous, who crashed the government website of the city that arrested the 90-year-old man who was feeding the homeless. People like Edward Snowden. People like Bradley Manning, who's rotting in a military prison. What do you think, Jake?
Wonderful. Thank you for calling in. I agree. I think that that's really is the core of what I've been saying, is that young people just aren't interested in the current paradigm. And I believe, yeah, that it is being undermined. And I'm with you all the way.
Jake, time for one or two more calls, and that is it. We go to Chris in Los Angeles. We'll get Chris in. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, good evening, guys. George, love your show.
Thank you, sir.
Forever. I've been listening for years. I'm 28. I live in Los Angeles, and I have to politely disagree with Jake about representing the millennial generation. I love your optimism. I've never been one to be, unrealistic. I've been a realist my whole life. The thing is that the current paradigm and the way things are set up, we as millennials, we're not going to be able to just say, we're not going to play this game, and we're gonna do things our way, and this is how it's going to work. That's not how the world works. You don't give out free college. You cannot stop the military-industrial complex, because when you take one piece of the equation and remove it, everything else is going to start falling apart. The reason why this country is as safe and secure as it is because of the military-industrial complex. Does it make it right? I don't think so. But getting rid of that spending to pay for free college, that's not going to solve that. As for talking about when you're talking about the Keystone Pipeline or fracking, I don't know about you guys, but I'm enjoying the heck out of all this cheap gas. That's really helped me and my family.
I love it. Let's enjoy it while we can, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and the thing is that we have a really tough time on our hands, Jake, as millennials, because people are looking at us saying, well, what are going to be the answers for the future? What do you guys plan to do about these things? Because now it's in your hands. But in reality, I'm pretty sure that most of my generation, and Jake along with me, we just don't really care about the future, and that's a huge problem I'm concerned about, because I care about
the future. Well, you have to. 30 seconds left, Jake. You have the final word.
Had the final word on the whole show?
Yep.
Oh, man. Well, like I said, I know people are naturally going to disagree. I think that the only way that change isn't going to occur is if we keep buying into the story that it can't occur, that, well, that's not the way the world works, and that's just how things go. That's what people told the Wright brothers when they wanted to bend a piece of metal and fly it over the ocean through the air. You know, it was unrealistic to turn a switch and lights would come on. I think that having a healthy sense of being unrealistic while still recognizing worst case scenarios is a great way that we can create change. And I'm looking forward to the opportunity and asking ourselves what's the best that can happen.
Well, good luck to you, Jake, with the work. Of course, the book is called The Purpose Principles. For Nathan Staten, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on my next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.